Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, there was very little progress on the labor front. In fact, they might have gone backwards over the weekend, but we'll talk a bit about that, plus some talk about Clayton Kershaw's future, the nature of the MLB playoffs, and how the Dodgers stack up with the rest of the NL West in the starting pitching department. So, let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. This is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. Or even better, go ahead and subscribe in all those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, my name is Jeff Snyder. My co-host is Vince Samperio, although it will just be me today. Vince and I are both lifelong Dodger fans, just like you, and we've also both spent time covering the Dodgers in the press box and the locker room, so we're not quite insiders, which is a good thing, but we bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue every weekday morning. So please, again, subscribe now, and let's talk Dodgers. But first, today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So, as I said at the beginning, we've got labor talk to talk about. We've got Clayton Kershaw playoffs, and starting a new series over the next few weeks. We will be comparing how the Dodgers stack up with the rest of the National League West in a variety of areas. Today is our first one. We're going to talk about starting pitching, compare them to the rest of the NL West, and see how they stack up. So that'll be our last segment. First, let's talk about the labor stuff. It's, get the ugly out of the way, I guess. As you're listening to this, it's February 28th, which, as you'll recall, is the league's deadline, self-imposed deadline for if we want the season to start on time, we have to have a deal by this date. That date is February 28th. And so we have until basically the end of the day today for the players and the owners to come to an agreement. Things don't look good right now. MLB, one of their, Mark Feinsand, who works for MLB, writes for MLB.com, he wrote that there was progress on Sunday. Other people who talked to people on the player side didn't feel so much like there was progress. The one thing that is giving me hope right now is I said on this show last week, or I probably said it a couple times. I know I've said it to people in person a couple times. I believe that self-imposed deadlines usually work. And I feel like, what I've said is I think on February 27th, things are going to look hopeless. And then they're magically going to come to an agreement on the 28th because nobody wants to lose games. That's what I said. And deep down inside, I still believe it. But here's the thing about the word hopeless. It implies a lack of hope. And in order for things to look hopeless on February 27th, almost by definition, I have to be doubting my prediction. Even though my prediction was that I would feel exactly the way I feel right now. As I'm recording this on February 27th, 8:39 p.m. Pacific time, I'm feeling like there's no hope of them getting a deal done tomorrow or today as you're listening to this. But that's exactly what I predicted that I would feel. And so maybe there is hope, but I don't know. Like, somebody's going to have to cave. And either it's going to be the players, and you could see them, I guess, maybe falling on their sword for the sake of the game, saying, we know public opinion's on our side. Everybody knows that we're getting a raw deal here, but we love the game of baseball so much that we're going to take this raw deal. I don't think that's going to happen. The league is not budging on some things. And maybe I don't understand where they're coming from on the competitive balance tax, the luxury tax, because they haven't budged and they are very close to the numbers that have been in this previous CBA. And so for them to not budge on the luxury tax, not even keeping up with inflation, it's just weird. And maybe that's where, maybe their thought is if we draw a hard line at $214 million or whatever it is that they've been doing, then when we do go up to 230, the players will feel like, you know, like it's a gift and they'll take it. Maybe that's what they're doing. And so maybe they do agree at 230-ish or something on the collective bargaining or competitive balance tax. Too many CBA, CBT, luxury tax, blah, 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 blah. So maybe that's their strategy. I don't have any idea how this thing is going to play out. I know it's crazy frustrating for us as fans who are sitting here, like even if we understand or think we understand exactly where every side's coming from and stuff, like there is a natural inclination, even if you understand why the players are fighting for this. I talked a week or two ago about Peyton Henry, the Marlins catcher who lives here in my town, and kind of I kind of used him to make an example of not all these players are millionaires. You got guys like Peyton Henry, who's 24 years old. He's been in the minors for 5 or 6 years, just got called up to the big leagues last year, you know, finally made a living wage basically for the first time in his life, probably made $60,000 in 2021. First time that he's made more than $15,000 in a year since he got drafted in 2016. And then the Marlins went and traded for Jacob Stallings. And so Peyton's starting future or even playing future is in question. You know, he's on the 40-man roster, so he'll have a little bit better salary while he's in the minor leagues. But still, I mean, those are a lot of the people. Like half the union, more than half of the union, is guys like Peyton Henry and somewhere in that ballpark. Even guys who are on the major league roster, the average career span, lifespan of a baseball player's career is like 2 years or so. And so even if you're in the majors for 2 years, making the league minimum, yeah, $550,000, $600,000, whatever it is, it's a lot of money for us to think about. But if you play for 2 years, year and a half, 2 years, you make $1 million in your 2 years. You paid nearly half of that in taxes, plus, you know, hotels, whatever, paying off debt that you racked up while you were in the minor leagues because you were living on peanuts, you know, and you've got what, $300,000 in the bank if you've been really smart with your money, and now your career is over. And now what are you going to do the rest of your life? Yes, we would all love to have $300,000 in the bank right now. But I don't think any of us would want to be 26 years old and have our career done and have to figure out what we're doing with the rest of our life and how we're living on that $300,000. So, you know, it's not quite as simple as, even though we are all envious or whatever, you know, we recognize that the players have a really good gig. I think the players recognize it too, but they're very talented. They're the most talented people in the world at what they do. It's stuff that we pay money for. And all that they're asking is, hey, we want a bigger share of that money that people pay for because we are the product. And you look at what the, you know, the percentages that the owners are pulling in. The Braves are the only team that have to report financials because they're publicly owned. They're owned by a publicly owned company. And what we know is that the Braves paid about 28% of their revenue last year in salaries. Most leagues, like the other leagues, the NBA, the NFL, they have percentages tied to, okay, players get this percentage of the revenue that comes in. And, you know, that requires ownership opening up their books, and the owners don't want to do that. So it's just an ugly situation. And I know there's a temptation to say to the players, come on, you're getting paid to play a kid's game. Just play it. But, you know, the more this goes on and the more the owners dig in and are totally unmoving on some pretty unreasonable demands, it's frustrating to me, and it makes me more and more on the player's side. I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about Clayton Kershaw's future and the nature of baseball playoffs. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and please keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, you know what? Football's over for the season, but basketball is full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline.net is the number one spot for all your sports betting needs. BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds, right down to the Olympics, everything else you can think of. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Be sure to check out Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right, I am back, and like I promised, we're going to talk about Clayton Kershaw. There was a little report in a – it's from Bob Nightingale, so Nightingale trigger warning. Bob Nightingale gets poo-pooed a lot on social media, and for good reason. He is remarkably bad at a lot of parts of his job. He is really good at being wrong. He is really good at spelling things wrong, more than you would expect a professional writer to do. Just a lot going on. But Bob Nightingale, in his latest notebook on USA Today, said, one former teammate of Dodgers three-time Cy Young winner Clayton Kershaw believes that he'll either pitch for his hometown Texas Rangers or retire and not return to the Dodgers. Some people, kind of the natural inclination is to say, oh, good. Nightingale says Kershaw's not coming back. That means he's coming back. It's a fun little game we play on social media where we just assume the opposite of everything Nightingale says is going to happen. It wouldn't be such a fun game if it wasn't for the fact that it was accurate so often. He is wrong a whole lot of the time. Really, really high percentage. I still have a hard time viewing this as good news for the Dodgers. You know, I'm going to be talking in the third segment today about the Dodgers starting rotation. And the fact is, right now, there are some pretty big question marks in the Dodgers starting rotation. And Kershaw coming back would answer one of those questions, at least. I want to look at this on the merits. Do I think there's actually a chance that Clayton Kershaw doesn't come back to the Dodgers? Let's look first at going to the Rangers. I have a really hard time seeing it. But I had a hard time seeing it with Corey Seager too. I don't understand why a player who has spent basically his whole career, you know, for Seager, literally his whole career in the postseason, why would he sign with the Rangers? Now, the answer for Seager is, well, they offered me a crap load of money. And I get that. I also think for Corey Seager, personality-wise, I know people mocked, Anthony Rendon a lot about the Hollywood lifestyle thing. But the fact is, L.A. is not for everybody. Corey was born in the South. He seems to be kind of a Southern boy. And so I think maybe Corey Seager is more comfortable in Texas than he is in Los Angeles. And I don't begrudge him that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm okay with that. For me, I feel like, I don't know, you would want players to put a priority on winning, but the Rangers are at least paying lip service to the idea of competing. They signed Marcus Semien. They've spent a lot of money. They're still trying to sign Kershaw. They're trying to get better, and you give them credit for that. Will it work? Who knows? It's never been sustained by the Rangers for very long at a time, but they're trying. But it seems unlikely that the Rangers are going to be a playoff team in 2022. And Clayton Kershaw, when you're talking about the alternative is he might decide to retire, that kind of tells you what stage of the career we're at. And so is Clayton Kershaw really, who's been in the league, 2018 to 2021, that's 14 seasons, and he's been in the postseason 11 of those. Everything except 2010 through 2012, I believe, Clayton Kershaw has been in the postseason. He's been in the World Series how many times? Three times? He's won the World Series once. Is it really that valuable to him to be close to home? It might be. We know that Clayton Kershaw loves being a dad. But I also think he loves being a competitive baseball player. And, maybe at this stage, since he got his World Series, maybe having October's off appeals to him. But I think Clayton Kershaw, as long as he's playing, I feel like he's going to want to play on a competitive team. And the Dodgers give him that best opportunity to keep competing, keep having a chance to play in the postseason every single year. And so it's really hard for me to see him signing with the Rangers. Now, the retirement angle, That's something that I said last fall, even when he got injured. I thought, what if he doesn't want to go through the rehab? But, you know, if you watch the interview he had with Dan Patrick a week or two ago, there didn't seem to be any hint of him even thinking about retirement. He sounded like a guy who's planning on pitching in 2022. He also sounded like a guy who's planning on pitching for the Dodgers. And the Dodgers are the only major league organization that Clayton Kershaw has ever known. And, you know, yeah, he was a Ranger fan growing up. Okay. He's a Dodger now, and the Dodgers give him the best chance to win. So I have a hard time seeing Kershaw retiring, and I have a hard time seeing him signing with the Rangers. And the last option is he comes back to the Dodgers. I really believe Kershaw will be back with the Dodgers pretty quickly once the lockout ends, because there won't be time to dilly-dally. He's going to want to get to camp and get rolling. And so I expect Kershaw to be back with the Dodgers pretty darn quickly once he can be. And, you know, it'll just be another case of Bob Nightingale being wrong. Next thing I want to talk about is the playoffs. One of the sticking points in the labor negotiations is expanded playoffs. Players seem willing to go to 12 games or 12 teams in or 12 teams total, six in each league. The league wants 14 with seven in each league. We talked a little bit about the specific proposal last week about how the top seed in each league gets a bye in the first round, and the other ones get to choose their opponents and all that. And all this talk, a guy named Joe Sheehan, if you're not familiar with Joe Sheehan, he writes a baseball newsletter, very smart baseball guy. He knows his stuff on baseball, and I agree with a lot of it. He like me, has long been a proponent of limiting the number of pitchers on an active roster. He and I both like the idea of like 11-man pitching staffs, even though it's unlikely to get that low, but all the benefits that would come with that. I like Joe Sheehan. I think he's pretty smart. He's talking about, that's kind of you can tell by the way I said I like him, I think he's smart, that there's kind of a but coming up, and I don't totally agree. I'll tell you what I said, and I don't really disagree, but so he was talking about the playoffs, and he said, for a long, long time, there was more to the baseball season than just establishing playoff seeding for a marathon postseason. It may be time to ask why we're so far from that now. He also, somebody had asked him, if they do a straight pennant race, what do the other 28 teams play for when they're out of it with a few weeks to go, you know? And Joe said, all we hear about is how baseball doesn't mean as much to American sports fans as it used to. Maybe it's because baseball stopped being what made it baseball in favor of chasing TV money. Maybe a deeply meaningful regular season and a short playoff was a really good thing. So those are a couple of comments from Joe Sheehan. And then somebody responded to Joe, said baseball is different than the other sports. In the NBA, a postseason series is a test. The regular season is a meaningless slog. In baseball, a postseason series is a coin toss. The test is the 150-plus game regular season. I would be very careful not to devalue the regular season. And Bill James, who is maybe the most famous baseball talker and thinker in the world, he said, that's absolutely right. I don't think there is a general understanding of this. Not to rip on Manfred, but commissioners pursue money. If you devalue your product in the pursuit of money, it's kind of like stripping parts off the family car to pay the rent. So both Joe Sheehan and Bill James basically are saying that adding more teams to the playoffs devalues the regular season, and they both seem to be proponents of actually allowing fewer teams in the playoffs. You know, even if we disregard the fact that that's never going to happen, because as everybody acknowledges, there's money in the playoffs. Where I quibble a little bit with this is not, I don't think they're wrong. I just think it comes down to what you expect from your baseball playoffs. And the fact is, yes, it used to be back when the National League and American League were separate things, and the winner of the National League played the winner of the American League in the World Series. You really did get the best team in the American League against the best team in the National League, and then the Yankees won the World Series. That's what happened almost every year. And that's okay. You usually had the best team in baseball winning the World Series. These days, you hardly ever have the best team in baseball winning the World Series. That's just a fact. I would guess you know, I haven't done the math, but I would guess 30% of the time, maybe. It's why I always laugh when people say, oh, if not for the 1994 strike, the Expos would have won the World Series and that would have saved baseball in Montreal. The Expos had the best record in baseball at the time, but the Expos hadn't even won their division. Like, the Braves were in the middle of their streak of winning the division. The Expos were probably going to, you know, get beat out by the Braves in the regular season. And even if they did win the division, doesn't mean they were going to win the World Series, because the best team rarely wins the World Series. That was one of the things that was so remarkable about the Dodgers 2020 season, was that they were clearly the best team in the regular season. And then they steamrolled through their first two rounds of playoffs. And then they ran into some speed bumps, but had an epic comeback against the Braves. And then they kind of steamrolled the Rays. I mean, basically they would have won that game series in five games, if not for a weird fluky Brett Phillips hit, you know, I mean, so they won it in six games and it probably should have been less. You know, the Dodgers basically were the best team start to end. That doesn't happen very often, and that's okay. And that's what I'm getting at, is it comes out of what you're expecting. If your expectation is, I want the best team in baseball to hold up the piece of metal at the end of the season, then yeah, you want fewer teams in the playoffs. You want that regular season to mean more. But for me, I've never felt like the regular season doesn't matter. You think back to 2019, the Dodgers, they won the division pretty easily. There was never much doubt, and yet we still loved every single one of those walk-off wins, that walk-off magic, because it was so much fun. Nobody thought, well, these games don't matter because the Dodgers are going to the postseason, and so I'm not going to enjoy this walk-off win. Of course we enjoyed it. We love baseball. And so what we have is then longer postseason. And yeah, it's a different feeling in the postseason, you're different kind of stress and stuff. But I don't feel like it's devalued, unless you are expecting the best team to hold up the trophy every year, because we're not going to get that in this system, but we get more baseball, and I'm okay with that. Those are my thoughts on that. I'm not saying that Joe and Bill are wrong, but I don't totally agree with them. So, as promised, I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about how the Dodgers stack up with the rest of the NL West in starting pitching. So, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it Locked On Dodgers. Let's talk about Built Bar for a minute. Built Bar, as you know, is the best tasting protein bar in the world. It is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or maybe even better. They also have Built Bar Puffs that are basically chocolate-covered marshmallows that somehow manage to be healthy too. Everything they make is delicious. Everything they make is covered in chocolate, and everything they make is crazy healthy. Low calorie, low sugar, low carb, high fiber, high protein. All the good stuff, none of the bad stuff, and really, really delicious. Have I mentioned that? They're going to have a flavor you like. If you don't know what flavor you like, order a mix box. They'll send you a bunch of flavors. You can choose them. If you know what you like, just order those. And whenever you order, go to build.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at build.com. Know what else I want to tell you about? RockAuto.com. Now, if you ever have to buy auto parts, you should use RockAuto.com unless you like wasting time and money. Do you like wasting time and money? I don't think so. So go to rockauto.com. You don't have to take my word for it. Go to it right now. I mean, when you're done listening to the podcast, obviously. Finish Locked On Dodgers first. But then go to rockauto.com and just pull up your make and model of car and look at the list. And you'll say, wow, they have all the parts my car might ever need. And look at this. They cost a lot less than they would down at the auto parts store. And I don't even have to get in my car. I can order from my jammies at my desk, on my phone, however I want to do it. And I'm going to pay a whole lot less. Like, why would I pay 50, 100% more at an auto parts store? I could pay less. It'll just be delivered right to my door. That's the way to get auto parts, whatever you need. That, you know, it's a great business, great customer service. I can't say enough. I use rockauto.com personally and I love it. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, last segment here. As I mentioned, we're starting a series where we're going to go through all the positions, every area of the team over the next couple weeks, and we will see how the Dodgers stack up with the rest of the National League West in that department. And today, we're starting with starting pitching. This is a hard one right now because we don't know what the Dodgers starting rotation is going to look like. The Dodgers, more than any other team in baseball probably, have big question marks in their starting rotation, because is Clayton Kershaw coming back? Is Trevor Bauer going to be in the rotation? You know, those are two big, big questions. Both of those guys have won Cy Young Awards, and both of them could be in the Dodgers opening day rotation, or they could never pitch for the Dodgers again, and anywhere in between. And so they have a lot of question marks. And so I'm going to look at the other teams in the division first, I guess, and we'll talk about them a little bit, and then we'll look at the Dodgers. So the Rockies. Germán Márquez is really good. Has potential to be really good. He is a good pitcher. Antonio Senzatella showed some signs last year of being pretty decent. He wasn't necessarily great, and he's had his struggles over the years. Kyle Freeland has been really good at times. Those times have not been very often the last couple of years. And then you've got you got Austin Gomber. Well, I mean, they traded Nolan Arenado for him, so he must be good, right? Well, other than at pitching, yeah. Peter Lambert, a good hitter for a pitcher, not a great pitcher for a pitcher. And then a bunch of, guys, I'm looking at the Fangraphs depth charts. There's guys that you and I have never heard of on their depth chart. Their sixth guy on the depth chart is Ryan Rollison. Nobody ever heard of Ryan Rollison. Ryan Rollison's mom doesn't know who Ryan Rollison is. Ryan Feltner, just every random Ryan in baseball. Ty Block, we've heard of him. Remember, he was good against the Dodgers a couple times, and then the Dodgers remembered, oh, this is Ty Block. Let's knock him around. Garrett Schilling, I've heard that last name, not that first name. Ashton Godot, only heard of him because the Dodgers actually claimed him on waivers from somebody a couple years ago. The Rockies have the potential for a top two starting pitchers of being pretty solid, but it's hard to see them being very good overall in the starting pitching department because there are so many question marks. And it's not like, the Dodgers question marks might be filled by Clayton Kershaw and Trevor Bauer. The Rockies question marks are going to be filled by guys that you had never heard of until I just said their names. So Rockies are pretty low on the list. The Padres. The Padres probably on paper have the best rotation in the National League West right now. There's a lot of question marks too as far as how they will perform. On Fangraphs, if you rank them by projected WAR, their best one is going to be Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove is a good pitcher. He pitched pretty well last year. Then you've got Yu Darvish, who is probably really good, but also after they cracked down on sticky stuff last year, he kind of struggled a lot. So who knows? They've got Blake Snell, who is, I don't know what to think about Blake Snell. He's been really good at times in his career. He's been really bad at times. Last year, he struggled a lot, not against the Dodgers, but against a few teams. He had some struggles. So I could see Blake Snell coming in just on fire in 2022. I could also see him being the guy that you think, man, remember when he used to be good? And then they got Mike Clevinger, who's got injury issues. They got Nick Martinez, who's unproven. They got Chris Paddock, who is, was good for half a season his rookie year and then has been bad ever since then. Ryan Weathers, who, again, has good stuff, but really took a step backwards last year. Mackenzie Gore has not yet fulfilled that prospect potential. Adrian Morihone, also injury issues. So, top of that rotation has potential to be really, really good, but they have a lot of question marks too, including among some of those guys who might be really, really good. They might be not really good. And I know that applies to everybody, but you get what I'm saying. I think that maybe applies a little more to the Padres than some teams because they're just with Yu Darvish and Blake Snell, nobody has any idea what those two guys are going to be in 2022. And so that it's some interesting stuff to think about. The Giants. Giants are right up there with the Padres on paper. You got Logan Webb, who last year, just a coming out party for him, outstanding. Very, very good pitcher. Logan Webb, I'm already not looking forward to the first time the Dodgers have to face him and the second and third and fourth and fifth times that they have to face him this year. He is really, really good. Maybe they'll figure him out. Maybe they won't. Maybe he will regress. Who knows? But Logan Webb is a really good pitcher. Anthony DeSclafani was really good against everybody except the Dodgers last year. So I kind of expect that same thing. I think he's going to have a solid year, but I think the Dodgers will do okay against him. Alex Wood, who knows what to expect from Alex Wood? You never know what to expect from year to year. but he's got good stuff and might be good. Then they signed Alex Cobb, who, I don't know, like Alex Cobb, I could see him being one of those guys like Di Sclafani, kind of coming, not out of nowhere because he was solid last year, but, you know, kind of being, oh, wow, Alex Cobb's real good. I could also picture them saying, wow, we signed Alex Cobb. And then after that, they've got, you know, Sammy Long, Tyler Beatty, and then some other guys I'd never heard of. And so the Giants, I think, still need, I mean, they don't really have a fifth starter right now, and they're going to need one of those. And so going from that, it's a good rotation, especially at the top, potential to be pretty darn good. The Diamondbacks, Zach Gallen is a very good pitcher. He had some struggles last year, but I expect he's going to be pretty darn good in 2022. Everybody else, if any of them are even like league average, I'd be surprised. Madison Bumgarner, I think his best years are way, way behind him. I don't expect Madison Bumgarner to be a good pitcher at all in 2022. Merrill Kelly, I think he is the kind of guy who, if you're the Diamondbacks, you sign him because he can throw a bunch of innings for you, but he's not going to be very good. Luke Weaver has some good stuff, but has never really put it together. Then they've got, apparently Dan Straley is on the Diamondbacks now. Like, his projection here on Fangraphs is negative 0.4 war, and they have him throwing 100 innings for the D-backs. That kind of tells you the state of the Diamondbacks' current rotation. They have Tyler Gilbert, who threw a no-hitter last year. And then, you know, the two different guys named Humberto, I guess. So they've cornered the market on Humbertos, but haven't really cornered the market on starting pitchers. So I feel like it's going to be Zach Gallen and then pray for 4 days of rain, which doesn't flow as well as Spawn and Sane and pray for rain, but it applies to the D-backs. So that's the other four teams. But then you look at the Dodgers, and right now they're starting pitching projections. Walker Buehler is clearly their number one starter as of right now. Julio Urias is really, really good. And then question marks. Is Clayton Kershaw in the rotation? Is Trevor Bauer in the rotation? And then you've got Tony Gonsolin, Andrew Heaney, David Price, Andre Jackson, Mitch White, maybe even Ryan Pepiot. Like, there's a lot of potential there. All these guys, and I recognize I've got a bias towards the Dodgers. Like, if I wasn't a Dodger podcaster, maybe I don't know the name Ryan Pepiot. Maybe he's the guy I'm sitting here saying, I've never even heard of Ryan Pepiot. You know, I made fun of the D-backs random Ryans. Maybe Ryan Pepiot would be the Dodger random Ryan. But I do know the Dodgers. So I recognize there's that bias here. But, you know, there's potential there. Andrew Heaney, I really believe that if there's a team that can get the most, Andrew Heaney has really good stuff. If there's a team that can get the most out of that, it's going to be the Dodgers. Tony Gonsolin, if he gets put in the rotation and they say, look, Tony, you're starting every fifth day, go get him, I think he's going to be pretty good. David Price, it's hard to expect too much from him. You know, but realistically, it's hard to see David Price actually being a big starter for the Dodgers. So, you know, Andre Jackson, all those guys, they've got some guys who could fill some gaps. But that's with, so right now on Fangraphs, their starting five projected is Buehler, Urias, Gonsolin, Heaney, and Bauer in some order. That's a pretty solid rotation, you know, with potential. If Gonsolin and Heaney step up, it's potential to be really good. And the other thing is the Dodgers aren't done yet. Like, I think Clayton Kershaw's coming back. And if you look at, you know, there's been talks that the Dodgers might swing a trade with the Reds. Well, you look at the guys, the top three Reds pitchers who might be involved in that trade, Luis Castillo, Tyler Mahle, and Sonny Gray, all three of those guys projected to be really, really good in 2022. Any one of those guys would slot in very, very well as a number three-ish starter on the Dodgers, regardless of who else is in the rotation. And so that would change the entire outlook of that rotation. So doing this series right now, talking about starting pitching when, like, the Dodgers, like I said at the beginning of this segment, more than anybody maybe have really unanswered questions about the rotation, because we don't know we don't even know who's going to be on the team, let alone who's going to be in the starting rotation. So right now, if they started with who they have right now, I'd probably put the Dodgers rotation a little bit behind the Giants and the Padres. But I believe that by the time opening day actually rolls around, I expect the Dodgers to have the best rotation on paper. But the Giants and Padres both have potential to be pretty solid in the starting pitching department. So that's my analysis of that. That's going to do it for today. This one went a little bit long. I'm sorry about that. Hope you didn't mind. I've been teasing for the last couple weeks that we're going to have Keith Law on to talk about his prospect rankings. I finally locked down a time on that. That will be Wednesday's episode. Maybe Wednesday and Thursday. I'm recording it Tuesday morning. So we'll have to see how long we go. But it might be over two episodes. We'll see what the length is. But for sure, the first part of that, at least, will be on Wednesday. So be sure to check that out. But, of course, check us out every day. We really appreciate you making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. And now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you're not listening or watching every day, we would love it if you add one or two days a month to your rotation. If you have friends or family who might like the show, please tell them about it. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.